Well, hello again. I want to welcome you again this week as we start a new series called Believing Jesus. And I'm going to give a little history on this, on today's lesson. I've got some notes here so I don't leave anything out. This is the first in a series, I don't know how long it'll be, titled Believing Jesus. And the reason for that is that he's already told us that this is the year of manifestation. He's been telling us wonderful things like to expect instant manifestations of supernatural healings and miracles when we pray, not just when the fivefold pray, but we're coming into that season of Joel's army that was prophesied so long ago, where every soldier in the army, you're going to have your own weapon. You're going to have your own anointing is what I mean. You're going to be able to deliver from Christ within you yourself. To the enemy, it's going to be a horrible sight because here comes this army of believers. You know, he couldn't even handle one. You know, Jesus, the one candle lit and anointed by the Holy Ghost during the time of his time on earth. I mean, he did devastation to the kingdom of darkness. Well, if he couldn't handle one, how's he going to handle a million with Jesus on the inside of him? Anyway, I'm getting way ahead of myself. So let's talk about believing Jesus. The reason for this title goes all the way back really to 2016. And it was August 14th, 2016. I was just minding my own business, doing what I'm supposed to do. Let me move a few things here out of the way, just for distraction's sake. Just minding my own business and praying. I'd been praying in the Holy Ghost, and actually, when this happened, I was teaching at the Family Prayer Center here in Tulsa, just doing what I do, you know, and I was standing behind the pulpit at the prayer center and had my good old paper Bible, the one that's been with me around the world, you know, just preaching away. And, you know, and I'm teasing now, but how rude. Jesus just walks in right in the middle of my meeting. My high meeting, as Dave would say. Our prayer is always, please, at your meeting, take over anytime. Well, to me, I mean, I'm preaching and I'm teaching and I didn't even stop doing that. But to me, I saw Jesus walk right through the back wall of the church over there. I just, what? And just as clear. And nobody else saw him. I could tell because nobody else was like, you know. But to me, Jesus just walked through the wall and he came right over, stood right next to the pulpit, right to my right. And I'm just preaching away, had my open Bible there on the pulpit. And Jesus just put his finger right down on the Bible like this, and just put his finger on it, not on a particular verse, but on the Bible. And he said, I want to be believed. I want to be believed. Well, I didn't even say anything, I don't think. I'd have to go back and watch it. It's been a while. This is the year 2025 when I'm doing this video. So that's been a while. See, as I continued to think about that over the next days and really all these years since, when he said that, I want to be believed, I thought I was believing him. I mean, we're believers, right? Isn't that what believers do, is believe? So I was in a little bit of a quandary, you know, what he meant by that for a while. But see, as I continue to meditate the word and pray and basically, you know, fast and worship and do all of the things that we teach, and really all of that foundation goes back to Pastor Dave Roberson, and really all of that foundation goes back to Jesus Christ. You know, We're all learning. We're trying to become disciples, better disciples, disciplined followers. Well, as I would read what Jesus said in many places, for example, you can go ahead and turn to this one, John 14 and verse 12. I already have these printed out on my papers, so I don't have to turn to them while we're doing the video. John 14, 12. See, Jesus says, I want to be believed. Well, in John 14, 12, Jesus says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you. Now notice how it starts. He that believeth on me. Okay. the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, it's years ago the Holy Spirit pointed out to me the word he instead of they, because it's very personal. This is to any believer who believes. That's kind of a strange way of saying it, but he's really, this promise is to any individual. Notice it doesn't say, verily I say unto you, they that believe on me, like it's a congregational thing. Now, there could be many in the congregation that wind up being he or she that believes, but this promise is to he, individual, she, you, whoever, an individual. If you believe, you're going to be doing the same works. He that believeth on me shall do the same works. And where he says the works that I do, doesn't that mean the same works? See, there's a message that I teach pretty often, fairly often, called where I go through seven different meetings that Jesus had in the book of Matthew. And I do it that way, just stay in the one gospel so that I know I'm not repeating the same meeting over again. Seven different meetings. Some of them were huge with thousands upon thousands of people there. Others were small, like one of them was at Peter's mother's house, I think it was. Might have been his house. Anyway, it was a household meeting. Others were like thousands of people. But in all seven of those meetings, we just go through them one by one. It either says Jesus healed them all, or it says something like they brought all sick unto him and he healed them. Well, them who? Them all that they brought. So Jesus healed them all. And he says, again, I'm getting a little correction there. Now, Jesus, he did heal them all. I think I need to clarify, for just in case there's people watching that hasn't heard this before. It doesn't mean that Jesus, as he just walked through every city, every village, that as he walked through, everybody in the village that was sick got healed. That's not what happened. But it is true that everyone who came to the meeting, or let's say it another way, even those that came to him personally, one-on-one, like the leper, like the woman with the issue of blood, like the Syrophoenician woman, like the centurion, whether they come one-on-one or whether they came to a meeting collectively, here's the truth, and I've already done my homework. I encourage you to do it too. I went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John years ago on purpose to find out the answer to this question. And here's what you'll find out. There's not a single person that ever came to Jesus for healing that they did not get what they come for. 100%. I like to say it this way. Just helps me. I mean, he healed them all. First time. Every time. No exceptions. We have not. That's the works. That's the mark that Jesus set. That's the standard. And we're not allowed to lower that. When he says he, any individual, male or female, really, that believes on me, that's the standard. He will do the same works. Well, the same works is healing them all. First time, every time, no exceptions. I don't know anywhere where you can go and see that being done, but we're about to see it done. And coming right through you too, soldier of God, child of God. All right. Now, we thank God for every healing that we have seen. I had the honor and the privilege of being able to sit under Pastor Dave Roberson for over a quarter century. Saw so many miracles and healings. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs. I've seen all kinds of, I saw two people raised from the dead. Saw it with myself. I was there. I've seen failures too. I mean, we all, Dave and all of us collectively prayed for this baby that somebody brought to a conference, and the baby died. And so we thank God for every healing, every miracle that happens. But if we're going to be honest, most of them are by the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. I hope you never think I am diminishing the gifts of the Spirit. We're supposed to covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet earth. Yet, Paul said in the same breath, I'll show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into the maturity chapter, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And he says, see, as long as we're children, it's 1 Corinthians. That's what he called that church. He said, you're such babies, I can't give you meat. All I can do is give you milk. Yet they came behind in no gift. So God uses us when we're little babies and carnal and split and divided and selfish and all these things. He uses us in the gifts, and predominantly that's what we've seen, the best we've seen, really, in the church at large. But see, that's not God's best. And Paul was saying, that's good, that's better than nothing, but I'm going to show you a better way. If you'll grow up, if you'll come to maturity. We often talk about fruit. We're supposed to, bear fruit. Did you know you just look on planet Earth, you'll never find a fruit tree actually producing fruit that is not a mature tree. You plant a little sapling out there or from a seed or a sapling, it might be, depending on what kind of fruit tree it is, it might be 1 year, might be 5 years, might be even longer before you start getting fruit. That tree has to come to maturity. And sadly, because lack of fellowship, lack of intimacy with God, the vast majority of the church, including yours truly, where we've all been in a fairly immature state. But thank God for Pastor Dave, who put us on this path. The path to maturity has been laid out for us. And I especially speak of the blueprint prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk, those first original 10. Now, all of them are important. I wish I had time today to get into the prophecies that have come just this year in 2025. I play them in sequence. He's got them available through Bronk Flint at his website, Bronk Flint. That's BronkFlint.org. They're at his website. I play them in sequence very often during my prayer time. And it's amazing how the Lord is teaching us line upon line to come right into the fullness of this revival, where they do get healed first time, every time, no exceptions. That's a standard. God's not going to lower it. We're not going to lower it. We're going to press toward it, press toward the mark until we're walking in it. There you go. So you can have believers that, in the sense of, we're all, I know I'm born again. I know I'm going to heaven. We're believers. We believe in Jesus. We believe in that he's been raised from the dead. We have declared him as our Lord. We have been mortifying the flesh. We have been growing and maturing. We're all at some level of maturity, whatever that is. But still, we're dealing with unbelief. See, and that brings me to the next thought here, which is that lunatic son in Matthew 17. That's what the King James calls him. Don't know exactly what he had, but we know whatever it was because of a devil, because the cure was to cast the devil out. Excuse me while I rattle some papers in your ears. But go to Matthew 17 just for a minute. We'll just look at the end result, because this father brought this boy who had a devil. And boy, devil had a lot of manifestations. If you combine the four gospels and get all the information, it says it throwed him in the fire, it would throw him in the water, it made the boy where he couldn't speak, but he could moan because cries came out of him. God only knows what that sounded like with devils speaking through a human voice. said he pined away, which you looked that up means he was just, no appetite and maybe threw up whatever he ate, who knows. But he looked like a skeleton with skin stretched over it. He would wallow on the ground and foam and gnash his teeth. It was a lot. And it affected the faith of the disciples. Now, they had been casting out devils. That's why they had a reputation. That's why the father, this boy's father, brought his son to the disciples. It'd be like him bringing to the church today to cast that devil out. They did everything that they knew, things that had worked in the past, but they couldn't do it. Now see, and again, if the story stopped right there, that might give us some fuel for those that say, well, you see there, it's just not always God's will to heal everybody. But see, then if the story ended there, thank God it doesn't end there, because Jesus comes on the scene. He hears what's going on. He says, paraphrasing, how long am I going to have to put up with you? You bring that boy here to me. How long am I going to have to do this for you, is what he was saying. And you brought that boy to him, and the thing tried to throw Jesus off too. You know, it says it threw that devil threw him on the ground, and he wallowed and foamed and whatever, you know, but it didn't affect Jesus at all. See, where maturity is not moved by the circumstances. Immaturity is. Maturity is not. Jesus, I don't know if he did eye rolls or like, okay, try your best, devil. Doesn't affect me at all. Let's pick it up here in Matthew 17, verses 20 through 21. And by the way, if your Bible doesn't have these verses, if your version of the Bible does not have, a lot of them don't. I could list several right off the top of my head. I used to have one. I don't have it anymore. Anyway, so Jesus cast the devil out. So Jesus is the will of God. He doesn't do anything that's not the will of God. What does that tell us? It was the will of God that boy be free from that devil, even when the disciples prayed. Okay? There's just no doubt. So now, you know, privately afterwards, the disciples come and ask Jesus, well, why didn't it happen when we prayed? You know, how come we couldn't cast it out? So here we are. Matthew 17, verses 20 through 21. I hope your Bible has these verses. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. It's not because it was a big bad devil. It's not because of something woo. It's just plain old unbelief. You were moved by what you saw. Okay? That devil convinced you that the authority I gave you was not enough. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Are we going to start believing Jesus? They're thinking it's a big bad devil. Jesus is saying, faith, you can move that mountain. Don't ever think there's some devil too big for your faith to move. God, man, don't ever think there's some problem too big for your faith to move. God, about to have a running fit. We've hardly got started. Now, here it is. Howbeit, this kind of what? Devil? This kind of unbelief goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and what? Prayer and fasting. Oh my God. You mean Jesus is serious about that too? Yeah. I remember when he got that across to me, but we don't have time today. Now see, even in this case, you can tell they thought they were believing. They thought they were believing. They had a track record of casting out devils. Otherwise, that father would have known to bring this boy to him. And they said, well, we're believing. There's nothing wrong with our believing. We've done this before. We did the same things that we did before. We don't understand. They thought they were believing, but Jesus says it's because of your unbelief. See, and that's where we all are to a certain degree. We are believers, and we're going to heaven. I have no doubt. If you're watching this, most likely, you know, you're born again, probably spirit-filled. It's probably, you know. But we're still not believing Jesus to the extent that we need to. Okay. I'm going to have to speed it up just a little bit. They thought they were believing. Now, as I continue from that, now don't forget what happened back in 2016. Sorry, my mind is somewhere else now. I want to be believed. Jesus said, I want to, he wanted them to believe. See, he got on to them, basically. He says, I want you to believe the authority that I gave you to cast out devils. That's where your faith is. I gave you authority to cast out devils. That's where your faith is. Don't be moved by any circumstances. I want to be believed, Jesus. You know, he could have said that right there to them. As I kept meditating for those years and still today, it dawned on my lightning quick mind one day, Lord, we think we're believing. The disciples thought they were believing. But it dawned on me one day, you know, what we call believing and what you call believing really are two different things. We think having knowledge of what you said is believing. But that's not really the case. And I didn't really know exactly how to reconcile the problem, but at least I saw that truth. What we normal Christians, humans, born-again humans, what we call believing, we think we are, but what God calls believing is something else. We'll get to that in a minute. Now see, if we just took a survey or somehow we could look across America and really around the world at the church services where people genuinely love Jesus and they're born again, they're on their way to heaven, whether they're spirit-filled or not, to be honest with you. But I'm going to mainly, you know, our camp is the spirit-filled camp. That, you know, we worship and we love Jesus. And I know that it pleases his heart where two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It pleases his heart when we get together and, excuse me, and we worship and we sing and we give thanks and we even give offerings. I think the Lord is pleased with all of that. But right on the other hand, if Jesus was doing an inspection like across America on any given Sunday or, you know, just looking, he would say, okay, that's good. I'm so glad you got saved. I'm glad that, you know, that you have faith in my blood. And there's a lot of things he would commend, I think, and be happy about. But then the way most of our church services end, you know, and again, there might be a manifestation of gifts. Somebody might get healed, but then the others wouldn't. And when Jesus watches the end of the service and he sees people that came in wheelchairs, they leave in wheelchairs. They came in with crutches. They leave with crutches. They came with a cancer that you can't see, you know, so, but they know they have it. And they leave with that cancer. Would Jesus call that a Jesus meeting? I don't think he's pleased with that part. Now, he loves us. He's long-suffering. His mercies are new every morning. Thank God they are. But that's not. I don't think he'd put his stamp of approval. Okay, boom, that was a good Jesus meeting, no? When it's a Jesus meeting, they all get healed. First time. Every time. No exceptions. He's trying to bring us to that level. Bring us up to the standard where he left it. Now, over the years, there have been lots. I'm just telling you, it's not just me, but myself, Pastor Bronk, Pastor Jim Martin, Alan Taylor. I don't want to leave anybody. I could just go on and on. There's so many friends, associates in ministry, many, many that have been doing the message a lot. And, you know, we remember what Pastor Dave says. Dave says, you know, I don't know how many times I heard him say, even to me personally, he'd say, Gary, I can't do that soft voice as well as, oh, I miss our pastor. But anyway, he said, Gary, God is not withholding his power from us. He's actually doing all that he can to use his power through us. That's scary, right? He said, the problem is not on God's end. The problem is on our end because we're just not believing what he said. And many other things. But God's not withholding the revival from us. He is at whatever level of maturity we're at, he's manifesting all that he can, all that he can. Well, so that question, that thought kept over these years would keep coming to my mind. Lord, what we call believing and what you call believing apparently are two different things. And then one day I was just praying in tongues. I was doing my normal at home prayer time, minding my own business. But I've been trained by Pastor Dave to pray and listen, pray and listen. I ask for the interpretation. I ask for revelation knowledge. You don't ever force it. And I was just doing that. And suddenly the Lord began, I began to hear him in my known language. And I always grab my, you know, nowadays it grab your phone. I've got a little pocket recorder that I carry. If I have it with me, then I'll use it. But if he starts talking, I want to capture it, you know. And I remember that morning I had been meditating on Jeremiah 33:3. A lot of people call that God's phone number, you know, because it says call unto me. Jeremiah 33:3, hello, I'm calling unto you, Lord. But the Lord says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. There's a promise. And show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. That's where my mindset was that morning. I'd been thinking about that. I said, Lord, you said if we call, you'd answer. And you'd show us things that we don't know. Now, that day, he answered my, he taught me about my postulation, my question, what we call believing and what you call believing are two, but they must be two different things. And here's what he said to me. Quote, believing is recoding the mind. It is a biological, physical disconnecting of old neuropaths and a reconnecting of new neuropaths. Repetition is a major key. Exactly the same way that you learn the alphabet and the multiplication tables and everything else that you have learned. The process is precisely the same. This is how you go from unbelief to believing. Then he said something to me personally to help, which I've been doing. He said, rewind all the way back to the words document, and I know what he's talking about, that I originally gave you. Upon that foundation is how you rebuild your belief system to align with my belief system. Well, there's a lot to unpack there, but let's just say this. That launched the next series that I taught, which I just finished a week ago, 18 lessons, and the title of the series is Recoding the Brain. Recoding the Brain. And he had me do some research in the natural, scientific, to understand how our natural gray, he's talking about the gray matter. You know, the act, we all have a three, but roughly 3.5. Some people, they brag on somebody smart, oh, your brain must be 5 pounds. On average, in an adult human, their brain is about 3.5 pounds. We all have a 3.5 pound gray matter brain that God gave us, you know. And he says that when you actually believe something, there is a coding that happens in your gray matter. That's interesting. So that launched me into this series, and I personally have learned so much as we went through it. I've had others tell me it's maybe their favorite series that I've ever done. If you have not heard that series, you can afford it. It's available at the website for free. I think right now you'd have to go to the weekly services or at Rumble, but Angie right now is putting that all into a series, a playlist called Recoding the Brain. I'm in the process of finalizing all of there will be PDF files to go with it, which really you could say are my sermon notes, kind of like what I'm using today. Well, at the end of that, at the end of Recoding the Brain, he came right back to this thing. He says, now that you understand how to do it, it's time for you to believe me. And I knew right then, all right, we're going to learn what he taught us in Recoding the Brain, because it's time that we believe what Jesus said. And this new series that we're starting today, this is the introduction, is called Believing Jesus. We think we already are. So I was all ready to launch into this new series, Believing Jesus. Thought I was ready, and the Holy Spirit arrested me. I said, no, you missed something. What? See, during that time that I was in the middle of when I was teaching that series on Recoding the Brain, it was during that time that Jim Martin, Dr. Jim Martin, he doesn't require that. God had a reason for having him get that doctorate. That's another story. But he always comes once a year to Immokalee, him and his wife, Kathy. And during the time that I was teaching Recoding the Brain, he came to Immokalee and did a series there. And I think the name of the series was Kingdom Law, or maybe the Law of the Kingdom or something. I think it was Kingdom Law. And I watched it. I thought it was great. Jim Martin is probably maybe the best line upon line, precept upon precept, pure Bible teacher that I know. Of course, he's also a pastor, so he's got a teaching and a pastoral gift. So does Bronk, by the way. And Bronk, they both are fairly prophetic. Well, I watched them. I thought they were good. I thought they were interesting. And I thought I was giving my full attention to them, you know. I like to think of myself as a good student. So I watched them. I said, okay, that's good. All right. But the Holy Spirit directed me to something, a prophecy that came through Pastor Bronk right before Jim began teaching in one of those services. And I can tell you, it was, if you want to look it up, it's February 15th. Bronk has all these at his website. So the date was February 15th, right before Jim began to teach. And the title they put on it was, I'm Equipping You for the Harvest Ahead. So here, you know, Bronk, none of us get together ahead of time and really tell each other, you know, what we're going to preach or what we're going to speak. Bronk didn't know what Jim was going to say. He didn't even really know probably the topic at this point. But God began speaking through him. Now, the prophecy's fairly long, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's wonderful. It's excellent. I highly recommend it to you. Again, I'll tell you, February 15th, if you want to look at it, bronkflint.org, and click on prophecies, and then you'll come to February 15th. I'm Equipping You for the Harvest Ahead is the one I'm about to read from. But see, the Lord began speaking specifically about those teachings that Jim Martin had come to do. Bronk didn't even know what it was going to be. Quote, I'm going to start quoting what the Holy Spirit. So when I read these, it's God. This is God speaking to us through human lips. And he says, for I have brought even to pass these meetings. He's talking about the meetings that Jim Martin is doing. In particular, this week, now get this. Okay, as I've gone through this, I have bolded and underlined certain phrases that jumped off the page. So as I come to those, I'm going to emphasize it, okay? For I've brought even to pass these meetings, in particular this week, for the rest of your training. What? For the rest of your training. And building upon you these things that you'll hear through the one that comes to speak. Now get this. For I'll train you in the last portion of this. He's talking about preparing us the last training that we need as we're about to go into this revival. For even the things that I'll be speaking to you now and the remainder of this week will build in the mature a place, now get this, that is necessary for me to rest on you this great harvest. And you will not crack. This won't crack. This foundation will not crack. It will not split. Now, this is another bolded part. Listen. You will take authority in the Spirit and drive out devils over this region through the things that you will hear. Be very attentive, says the Spirit of grace, in the things that you will hear the man of God speak. For many things will touch your heart individually and grow you up a measure so that you are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For he will blow upon your foundation in the days ahead, but you will be fine, and you will stand strong and in great peace. but I call you to mind. I call you to mind, says the Spirit of Grace, that these meetings are not just, and the things that you'll hear are not just as you've been accustomed to in more sound doctrine. What he's saying, these meetings are not just about sound doctrine. They are absolutely sound doctrine, but that's not just what they're about. They will be, he says, but I am asking an army, a Joel's army, to be equipped for what my heart is. And my heart is the harvest, says the Spirit of Grace. Man, I had already heard those meetings. I thought they were great. Yeah, good job, Brother Jim. Yes, good doctrine. But after the Holy Spirit brought me back to that prophecy and I read it again and he emphasized it like that time, I said, oh my goodness. Those meetings contain information that's for the final training, even of us who are matured, been at this a long time. It's for the equipping of the army. You know what? When you say equip the army, it's got my uniform in it. It's got my helmet in it. It's got my provision in it. It's got my weapon in it. It's got my ammunition for my weapon in it. I'm going, I need to go listen to those again. So this time I went back and listened more closely. And this time I took notes. And I knew then that I had not given that teaching series the attention, the detailed attention that it needed. See, I didn't realize it, but the Holy Spirit did. I realized that I had not given those teachings the diligence that I should have. So I went back and listened to each one again, this time, making sermon notes along the way to make sure I did not miss anything. Dear Lord, if you're getting ready to go on the front lines, I mean, you know, think of the Battle of the Bulge and you're right on the front line facing the enemy. You want your equipment. You want your rifle. You want your ammunition. You want your rifle cleaned. You want your, you want everything. You want your instructions from headquarters fresh. You want, you know, and he's telling us we're going into the harvest field. This is combat. We're going in to rescue people. All right. So I went back and I started making notes. Now, what did the Holy Spirit say was the purpose for him sending Jim to teach these lessons anyhow? Now, this is just from the prophecy that I just read, not the notes from Jim's meetings. But from just what that portion I read, the Holy Spirit revealed, it's all about the harvest. Okay? We're coming into harvest time. It is for our final training and preparation for that harvest. These teachings, he said, are necessary. He used the word necessary for the Holy Spirit to be able to rest on us the way he wants to. He says, we will develop regional authority. He says, you will clear demons out of your region. It's one thing to have authority over a little devil in a person. It's another thing to have authority over the powers of the air. Regional authority. He says, you're going to have regional authority. And it comes through these teachings that Jim Martin came to teach us, which God sent him. I mean, it's always God's teaching, but still. And he says, we are to be very attentive to the lessons. Well, I was attentive, but I was not as attentive as I needed to be. So I went back to him. Number 6, he said, in this prophecy that came through Braun, these teachings, he said, will grow us up another measure, so that we will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How many of you know that the devil hasn't just rolled over and played dead? I remember a few years ago, Bronk had a message titled "The Warfare Has Changed" or something that's close, and the Lord revealed there was 7 assaults, 7 different kinds of demonic attacks coming against the church. I remember the first one was a spirit of infirmity, and boy, we have seen that. I don't want to give him any glory, but God wasn't kidding. We need to grow up another measure. All right. In that prophecy, he also said, this is, he used, the phrase like individual equipping for every soldier in Joel's army. See, to one, he's going to say, you don't have your helmet on. If you're going into combat, you need your helmet. To another one, he might say, you're low on ammunition. Maybe your word level's too low. In other words, individually, he's saying, if you'll pay attention to those lessons that Jim taught, that the Holy Spirit brought him to teach, he says, individually, whatever it is you might need, you're going to be fully equipped. You'll get it. And again, he concluded by saying, it's all about this great harvest. See, revival is about harvest. And that's what's on God's heart. We're in the season of harvest time. Glory to God, what a time to be alive. Well, as I went through them carefully, got quiet, got alone, no distractions. I play them on my little laptop that I use and where I can pause it, you know. Listen, Holy Spirit, don't let me miss a nugget. Help me. And man, pause, type, making notes, you know. When I went through it that way, it's like I heard them the first time. I know my ears. I know I heard them, but it's almost like I didn't hear them at all. There was so much more in them than what I had heard the first time. Now, if you have not heard them, they are available, I'm sure, at Jim Martin's website also, but I just, where I'm familiar with them, you go to Bronk Flint, again, that's BronkFlint.org, go to BronkFlint.org, click on the teachings, click on guest speakers, go to Jim Martin, and there they are. And they're available in MP3, they're available in PDF, some of them, there's a couple of PDFs. But MP3 and the YouTube videos are there, okay? Well, I learned so many things, and I'm not about, dear Lord, we're already three-fourths of the way through this, and I'm only on page 5 of 7. I guess we're doing all right. There's no way I could go, I made pages and pages and pages of notes. Gary, can I have your notes? No. No, you may not. You need to get your own notes. The time for living on another person's faith is really over. It's nothing special. I just listened and made notes. It's not the same. If you get my notes, you'll read them. They may have some impact. It won't be the same as you listening and you making your own notes. Because there you got to be attentive. You got to, Holy Spirit, help me. Don't let me miss anything, Holy Spirit. Anyway, I don't know how many pages, I should have counted them. Lots of pages of notes. I'm just going to give you two examples of things that I totally missed the first time through. Just two of them. Now, Jim did not use the words recoding the brain in his teaching. I don't know if he'd heard any of my messages or not about that. But I found out my second time through, going through them and making notes, he revealed in detail God's method in the Old Testament for people that weren't yet born again. I don't know if Jim even, he wouldn't use these, he didn't use these words, he might now after if he's heard my messages on recoding the brain, but he gave God's method of exactly how God did that in the Old Testament. God gave them instruction through Moses exactly how to recode their brain with the truth of God's word. I totally missed that. Well, if God knew how to recode the brain in the Old Testament with people that aren't born again, how much more is he able to recode our brains in the New Testament with people that are? It's amazing to me. I totally missed that. God's all into recoding the brain. He gave instructions through Moses to the people. He didn't use these words, but he said, anyway, I would call it, this is how you recode your brain, right here. This is how you learn to walk in my ways, right here. This is how you do it. This is how you become a believer in the Old Testament. And the same principles apply in the New. My goodness. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I want you to go listen for yourself. Here's the second example. I'll tell you it's in the final lesson, okay? That'll help you. Jim revealed something from the Holy Spirit a problem that is a faith killer, that is so deadly, but it's so common in the body of Christ. He revealed something in that last lesson that if you don't deal with it, you're never going to come to the place where you do the same works. It may be by the gifts. You know, God can use unbelievers in the gifts of the Spirit. You can find it. I've already studied it out. You can find all nine of the gifts except two, and that's tongues and interpretation of tongues. All the rest of them you can find in the Old Testament. None of them were born again. But your capacity to believe on Him to do the same works, what we're talking about now, where even just through you, because it's Christ in you, come on. But Christ comes to such a level in you that when you pray for the sick, they get healed. First time, every time, no exceptions. There's something that the Holy Spirit revealed that He sent Jim to teach us. You got to deal with this. If you don't deal with it, you're never going there. You'll just always be limited to the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, Gary, what is it? Go listen to it again. If you don't know, you need to know. Deal with it too. Sometimes it's hard to deal with it. So this next series now, when I understood about recoding the brain now, and we're going to actually apply it. See, knowledge is good. Applied knowledge is better. That's where you, and that becomes wisdom. Knowledge applied becomes wisdom. Okay. So this next series, again, is going to be titled Believing Jesus. Now, I want to read this paragraph to you. Now, I'm ready to include some truths in this next series that I've hesitated delivering. Part of me wants to hold back from sharing with you or anybody some of the most recent things that the Lord has said to me. And the reason I hesitate is because there's a possibility I might fail along the way myself. Okay? There's no guarantee. Everybody, you know, by me revealing this ahead of time, and then we watch the results, and if I fail, well, everybody will know I fail because the same works will never be demonstrated through me. See? Well, truth is truth, and the truth does not change just because men might fail. Whether I personally succeed or whether I fail, at least it will be said of me that as a teacher to the body of Christ, I held nothing back from the people. Now, are you ready to hear what the Holy Spirit said to me? This is when it's very recent. It's March 23rd of this year. Again, I was praying, listening, like as my common practice, worshiping, doing all what, you know, is during a time of fasting. I'm just saying those things as a teacher, okay? I don't care whether you think, you know, I'm not doing it for you. Well, in a way I am, because I'm a teacher. I'm doing it for us. I'm really doing it for Him, though. This is my job. With fear and trembling, I'm going to go ahead and share this with you. Part of me says, well, if you share this and then you don't ever walk in it, they'll know you missed it. Just know I might miss it. But me missing it doesn't change the truth now, does it? Okay. See, I love that Jesus said, He didn't say, I know the truth. He said, we'll know the truth. But Jesus didn't say, I know the truth. He said, I am the truth. Now He sent the Spirit of truth to live on the inside of us. Golly. There's that. I don't know exactly how to explain that rush that comes. My goodness. All right. Without further ado, here's what He said. The kingdom functions the way the king says it does and not the way you think it does. I knew I was in for something. That's all He said that day. Let me say it again. The kingdom functions the way the king says it does and not the way that you think it does. That's all He said that day. Boy, I thought about that, meditated on that. the very next day, the next morning, in my prayer time again, praying, listening, still fasting, I heard the Lord say, quote, "My son described how the kingdom of God functions in fine detail while on earth. If you will follow those instructions, you will have success 100% of the time. The kingdom of God is the most efficient operation in the universe. It does not function by guesswork. It functions by spiritual law, which can be relied upon with absolute confidence." Do you see the connection? It functions by spiritual law. What was the title of Jim Martin's teaching this year? Kingdom Law. I about fell off my chair. Goodness. It functions by spiritual law. And Jim Martin's series is titled Kingdom Law. Oh, there might be a connection. No wonder. The Holy Spirit said, "You're not ready. You didn't pay enough attention to what I sent Jim there to teach you. You go back and listen to that again now, and you pay attention this time. Make notes. Get this in you. I sent him for a reason." Okay. Now, see, that's the scary part where he says 100% of the time. Doesn't that sound a lot like first time, every time, no exceptions? When he says it's possible for us to have success 100% of the time, that sounds to me exactly like a Jesus meeting where they all got healed, first time, every time, no exceptions. Well, that's what we've all been praying for, whether we use that terminology or not, for years and years, to have real Jesus meetings again. Same level, not lowering the standard, but coming to the same level where he functioned, because he's the one that said it. "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And even greater shall he do, because I'm with the Father." You know the next two verses. It's almost like he repeats himself. He says, I'm "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." As if that's not enough, he says it again. "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it." And right there I hear, I want to be believed. We're not going to lower the mark. We're not going to lower the standard. We're not going to make false doctrine like it's not always his will to heal. It is too. We're not going to say, well, it's not his timing. It's not. There's so many man's doctrines that have been put into the church to move our thinking away from the simple answer that Jesus gave the disciples. It's because of your unbelief. That unbelief is never going to be dealt with except through prayer and fasting. Well, thank God we've got a group, including you, that for years has dedicated themselves to prayer, fasting, meditation of the word, worship, confession of the word, all of the things that Pastor Dave taught us, and really Jesus taught us. It is time. We're not going to lower the mark. Now, I'll finish up with this, something, you know, Jesus often gave natural parables to illustrate a spiritual truth. Electricity works by physical law, not spiritual law, right? Electricity was available for all of man. I mean, electricity was in the earth. Electricity, all of the principles were there for thousands and thousands of years. But the people perished when it come to electricity for lack of knowledge. Now, didn't they? It was there, but nobody knew how to tap into it. Nobody knew how to control it. Nobody knew how to store it. Nobody knew how to direct it into homes. Nobody knew so many things. Let me say it this way. The people perished from the use of electricity for a lack of knowledge. But electricity functions by law, by physical law. People have learned. when you plug in a device, I don't care whether it's a fan or you know, it could be anything. When you plug in any device that needs electricity, do you expect electricity to work every time? First time? No exceptions? 100% of the time? Now, in America, we do. A lot of foreign countries. Well, some parts of America. You know, but in America, yes, you expect it. And it's just a natural, normal thing. The power of electricity is available to me 100% of the time. I just need to know how to tap into it. This is how you do it. And I know I got to know how to direct it to my device. I turn this switch. Bam, the fan is running now. The power is flowing. The kingdom of electricity is in operation, if I said it that way. It functions by physical law. Well, the Holy Spirit said in these words to me, the kingdom of God functions by spiritual law, not by guesswork, not by emotions, not maybe so today and maybe so not tomorrow. He said it functions by spiritual law. And for the most part, we have been perishing from that power, we haven't experienced that power for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of the spiritual law. I highly recommend you go back and listen to that series again. God sent Jim Martin specifically as the messenger to bring us this gift to help us understand spiritual law, because we're going for the gold now. We're going to press towards the mark. We're going to leave the mark, the standard, right where Jesus left it. First time, every time, no exceptions. That's the mark. Press towards it. Do not lower it. Now, I'm willing to go for it. You know, I used to, you know, had the merry-go-round and the brass ring, and you reach and you stretch and you're trying to get that brass ring, you know, for our purposes. We'll say it's a golden ring. Now, there's a possibility that I might fail. I'll put it on me and not you. There's a possibility I may never get it. That's possible. Men fail, you know, sometimes. Well, I pray that's not the case. But whether I fail or not, it's not going to change the truth. And somebody, bless God's going to get it. It might as well be you. I got to go pray now. I love you so much. Love you so much. We'll see you again next time. Bye-bye for now.